O God, our Father, whose praise is in the church, uplift our souls to the holiness of your presence, that with pure hearts we may adore you and worship you with joyful lips. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Acknowledging that we stand in the presence of the Holy God, we humble ourselves and in true repentance we confess our sins.
Against thee, Lord, the sins of God. Christ has himself been punished for all your sins, God the Father has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. According to his authority and by his command, I announce to you the divine decree that our God, the divine decree of our God, that all of your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Continue with the reading of the Passion History, which is a combination of the four gospel accounts of Jesus' suffering and death. Immediately in the morning, as soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together. They took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. They led Jesus into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "I tell you, you will by no means believe me. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." And they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." Then the whole multitude of them arose, bound Jesus, and led him away from Caiaphas to the Praetorium, and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And it was early morning. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. The chief priests took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are the price of blood." And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." And the Jews themselves did not enter the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die." And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Then Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself on this, or did others tell you this about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered and said to him, "It is as you say. You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in him at all." And the chief priests accused him of many things, and while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? Do you not hear how many things they testify against you? See how many things they testify against you." But Jesus still answered nothing. He answered him not one word, so that Pilate, the governor, marveled greatly. So far the Passion history. We continue with the Confession of Faith, the Apostles' Creed, as it's printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Continue with the next hymn. Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our suffering Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight's lengthy text is taken from selections from Leviticus chapter 4 and 6. It's sort of in three sections, and it's sort of instructions about three different types of atonement and sin. See if you can spot the difference. We'll have frequency to repeat them as the sermon goes on, because I know you don't have them in front of you. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, if anyone sins unintentionally in any of the Lord's commandments about things not to be done, and does any one of them, if it is the anointed priest who sins, thus bringing guilt on the people, then he shall offer for the sin that he has committed a bull from the herd without blemish for the Lord as a sin offering. If any one of the common people sins unintentionally in doing any one of the things that by the Lord's commandments ought not to be done, and realizes his guilt, or the sin which he has committed is made known to him, he shall bring for his offering a goat, a female without blemish, for his sin which he has committed. And he shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering, and kill the sin offering in the place of burnt offering. And the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger, and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and pour out all the rest of its blood at the base of the altar. And all its fat he shall remove, as the fat is removed from the peace offerings. And the priest shall burn it on the altar for a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be forgiven." So far Leviticus 4, now on to Leviticus 6. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "If anyone sins and commits a breach of faith against the Lord by deceiving his neighbor in a matter of deposit or security, or through robbery, or if he has oppressed his neighbor, or has found something lost and lied about it, swearing falsely, in any of all the things that people do and sin thereby, if he has sinned and has realized his guilt and will restore what he took by robbery, or what he got by oppression, or the deposit that was committed to him, or the lost thing that he found, or anything about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore it in full and shall add a fifth to it and give it to him to whom it belongs on the day he realizes his guilt. And he shall bring to the priest as his compensation to the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flock, or its equivalent, for a guilt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any of the things that one may do and thereby become guilty." So far, the Holy Word. It's my pleasure and privilege, as always, to bring you an important gospel message from this Old Testament section of law, which is surely from our holy God and our Savior Jesus, dear fellow redeemed. Tonight's theme, as you see in your folder, is we see Jesus paying for our sins, and we certainly do in this text. I would add a sub-theme, and that is that sin varies, but that the solution never does. Here we have another lengthy and, as I said, somewhat complicated text straight out of the Old Testament sacrificial laws. Three different situations are presented. Now, we know these Old Testament laws about the sacrifice and those things no longer apply to us. But just like with that Numbers 19 text that you may remember from a couple of weeks ago with the ashes of the red heifer, we can learn something about how God feels about sins of different kinds and about the solution for those sins. A young college student was talking with his good buddy. They were theology students, and we'd like to think that men preparing for the holy ministry are highly sanctified and righteous in many respects. But they aren't, of course, always. Anyway, the young man began to relate a story to his friend that he had heard about at lunch. "Did you hear about so-and-so?" he said. "I heard she was out late. And when she came back to the dorm..." Well, right then, the young man's classmate put his hand up like this. And he said, "It sounds like something that's not my business." Basically, he said, "It sounds like we're beginning a conversation that's about gossip. And let's not continue." Of course, the man who told the story couldn't claim ignorance, because every Christian young man knows about gossip, that it's a sin against the eighth commandment to spread bad things around about people, even if it's true. But the young man telling the story realized that maybe he had a blind spot in his Christian life, where he'd been so used to telling stories that he was kind of surprised that his friends stopped him. Sometimes we sin unintentionally for different reasons. Maybe we're unaware of God's law. Sometimes because we've forgotten about part of it. And in the first part of our text, God spoke about someone who breaks one of his laws without realizing it. The action didn't stem from a malicious intent to break God's law or kind of shake it in his face. Far from it. They were acting in ignorance, it says. Three times God describes a situation like that, and three times he follows up by saying he is guilty. It's true that God reads the heart, and God, more than anyone, would know that the person sinning unintentionally didn't know about the law. Or whether we sinned on accident. But while God may be able to tell the difference in such a heart, he doesn't see any difference in the action. And he sees no difference between the individuals. It's sin. Whether they're aware of sin or not, they're guilty in his eyes. Well, this makes us think about a couple of things. Number one, the importance of knowing what God's law is, so that we're less likely to sin without knowing it. It also teaches us to pray with the psalm writer who said in Psalm 19, "Forgive me my secret faults." Because of our sinful nature and our incomplete understanding of God's will, at times, our lack of consideration for our actions, we often sin without realizing it. And those are real sins, and they carry real guilt, and they need real confession and real forgiveness. But what do we do when we're made aware of a past sin that we've committed? In our text, God says, well, if someone's made aware of a sin they've committed, they ought to bring an offering for their sin. And then the animal that they're offering is symbolically made a sinner and suffers what sinners deserve, and that is death. The priest would take the blood and sprinkle it on the altar and burn the fat as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And God concludes, "In this way the priest will make atonement for him and he will be forgiven." Well, as we saw 2 weeks ago, it's not hard to pick out a foreshadowing there of the work that Christ would do for us, the way he would take our place, and how our guilt would be transferred onto him. Just as Isaiah prophesied, he said, "The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Jews of Jesus' day, they brought their sacrifices. But they thought that their sacrifices paid for sin. They were merely symbolic of the real payment that the Christ would make on the cross. In a similar way, when you confess your sins, God doesn't forgive you because of your confession. He forgives you because you have been made clean in Christ's blood. Likewise, God doesn't forgive you because some of your money is going to the offering plate, if you think of that as a sacrifice situation. And really, that's good news. Because our repentance is imperfect and our offerings are imperfect, it comforts us during this season of Lent when we think about the guilt, the debt that our sins have caused us, and we see Jesus paying the debt we couldn't pay by offering himself as the sacrifice for sin. offering himself to God as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. There's another thing. Repentance means turning away from sin. After confessing your sin and being assured that Jesus has paid for it, resolve not to commit that sin anymore. That's a way to thank God. That young student of theology who wanted to tell stories about others started taking advantages of opportunities to keep his mouth shut after that. And he was even known, after seeing the example of his more sanctified friend, to put his own hand up once in a while and say, "It sounds like something that isn't my business." And this kind of thing happens all the time among us. And it's good. You see an elderly woman volunteering her time to help others. You happen to witness a friend in a moment of quiet personal prayer. At school, you see someone sticking up for the unpopular or awkward or disabled kid. You see these things and you think, "I should do more of that." Yep, you should. Not to earn favor with God so you get into heaven, but to thank him for what he's done to assure your place there already. By the way, one difference between the first two examples we read is that one is a priest and the other is a regular guy. When the priest sins, he brings guilt on the people. So his offering is a bull. The regular guy's offering is a female goat. Sin is sin, unintentional or intentional, priest or layman. But God emphasizes that when the priest sins, it's a big deal because that can give ammo to the enemy, enabling the devil to attack the gospel ministry. If anyone sins and commits a breach of faith against the Lord by deceiving his neighbor in a matter of deposit or security, or through robbery, or if he has oppressed his neighbor, or has found something lost and lied about it, swearing falsely, in any of all the things that people do and sin thereby, if he has sinned and has realized his guilt and will restore what he took by robbery or what he got by oppression or the deposit that was committed to him or the lost thing that he found or anything about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore it in full and shall add a fifth to it and give it to him to whom it belongs on the day he realizes his guilt. And he shall bring to the priest as his compensation to the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flock, or its equivalent for the guilt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any of the things that one may do and thereby become guilty. The Lord says, correct it. Make it better. Why? Have you wronged or cheated someone knowingly? Is there a way you can correct that? Well, it's too late now. It won't matter to the person I've wronged. It's such a small thing. That's the devil speaking, or your sinful flesh. Make it right if you can. Why? Will you feel better? You probably will. But a very good reason to make it better is that it is a way to say thank you to God for what he did for you in Christ, to acknowledge the pain and suffering brought down on him during his painful Lenten ordeal. Sins vary. You've got sins that the priest does and sins by the layman. Sins of commission and sins of omission. Sins of willful ignorance and willful sin. The solution is always what Christ has done for you. And these Old Testament sacrifices were a picture of that. And in them we see Jesus paying for our sins. Amen. Please rise. Direct your attention to your bulletin for the response to the sermon That same peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Rise. Let us pray. Redeemer Jesus, we know that the trials and humiliation and agony and death which you endured were for us. You carried our burden of sin in your body and felt the terrible weight of their guilt on your conscience. You consented to sacrifice yourself for our sins to make amends with God in our behalf. Our hearts are saddened when we think upon our many sins, but filled with rejoicing when we think upon your cross, knowing that it is the altar upon which you secured our redemption. For though we have sinned against God in many ways and without number, yet your suffering and death have opened to us the door of eternal life. Savior, give us grace always to remember in true faith and with contrite hearts what you in love have done for us. Make us willing and give us strength to follow you on faith's journey, even through heartbreak and suffering, to eternal joy. Be with us in every temptation. Help us overcome so that we may glorify you with a godly life and a steadfast faith. Keep us from a sense of false security and from becoming careless in things spiritual. Help us overcome weaknesses, fears, and the desires of our flesh. Grant that our spirits may be filled with watchfulness and prayer. Forgive all our sins, for you suffered and died for them. Through your merit and intercession, move our Father in heaven to give us those things which we need. We bless your precious name and we pray together in it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive with believing hearts the Lord's blessing, the grace of God the Father, the love of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.